This is the March 2026 edition of Review, the Journal of Blind Veterans UK. Contact details. The contact address for Blind Veterans UK is York House, Wetherby Road, York, Y027NH, and the telephone number 0300 111 2233. The member support hub mesh telephone number is 01273 391 447. New members. Anyone who may be eligible to join Blind Veterans UK can phone our membership department on free phone 0800 389 7979. Rustington Centre telephone number is 01903 945 300. The review editor can be called on 0300 111 2233 or at review editor, that's all one word, review editor at blindveterans.org.uk. Feedback. To give us feedback on any of our services, please email us at supporter.services@blindveterans.org.uk or telephone 0300 111 2233. Donations. To make a donation, simply telephone 0300 111 2233 or visit blindveterans.org.uk/donate. To listen to Review on Alexa, the command is Alexa, ask TuneIn to play Blind Veterans UK Review. If you have any problems getting it to work, please contact the Mesh helpline on 01273 391 447. If you would like to receive your copy of Review in a different format, please contact your community support worker or Rovi for more information.
With thanks, a message from your outgoing chair, Barry Coop. As I prepare to step down as chair of Blind Veterans UK, I want to speak directly to you, the members, who are the heart and soul of this extraordinary charity. It has been one of the greatest honours of my life to serve in this role, and I want to express my deepest thanks for the inspiration you have given me, the Board of Trustees, and everyone involved in continuing the legacy of this life-changing work. Throughout my time as chair, I have had the privilege of meeting many of you, hearing your stories, and witnessing firsthand the remarkable courage, humour, and determination that define our community. Whether you served decades ago or more recently, each of you carries with you a powerful story of service and resilience. Your strength inspires me to do better every day. I have been continually moved by the way you support one another, how friendships form when you get together, how you encourage newcomers, how you show that with the right support, blindness can open up incredible possibilities for one's life. Your willingness to adapt, learn new skills, and face challenges head on has been a constant reminder of why I got involved in the first place. I also want to thank you for the trust you have placed in both myself and the board. And I can assure you that at all times we have worked hard to ensure that we honour that trust by safeguarding the charity's future, investing in the right services, and ensuring we reach every veteran who needs us. As I step aside, I do so with complete confidence in the charity's leadership and direction. Blind Veterans UK is evolving with the aim to reach and help many more veterans earlier in their sight loss journey, to strengthen connections across the country, and to continue to innovate in the support we offer. The board will remain absolutely committed to ensuring that you receive the support, companionship, and opportunities you deserve. It won't surprise any of you who know me that as I come to the end of my tenure, my thoughts are with my father. As a blind veteran who lost his sight in World War II, the example he set and the start he gave me in life has made me all that I am today. So much of the man he became was shaped by being a St. Dunstaner, and he carried that pride with him always. At the time of the official opening of our Rustington Centre, I was shown a series of 12 photographs lining the main corridor, each one honouring a blind veteran who had achieved victory over blindness. As we reached the final frame, there he was, my father. It was an emotional moment for me and one filled with immense pride. He truly embodied victory over blindness, and I know he would have been just as proud to see me become chair of this remarkable charity. Thank you once again for allowing me the privilege of serving you all.
Remembrance Weekend 2026, London, Manchester and Edinburgh events. London, 7th to the 8th of November. Registration closes on the 31st of July. We are pleased to offer activities in London over Remembrance Weekend to our members and their chosen guests. This is a very special time to come together with friends and family and remember all those we have lost. Events include Sir Arthur Pearson Memorial Service at Hampstead Cemetery, the Festival of Remembrance at the Royal Albert Hall, Victory Services Club Evening in the Trafalgar Room, and Remembrance Parade on Horse Guards Parade. Register your interest at www.blindveterans.org.uk/events/remembrance-weekend-london-2026. Alternatively, telephone 0300 111 2233. Manchester, 7th to the 8th of November. Registration closes the 31st of August. We are delighted to invite our members to Remembrance Weekend in Manchester. Events include Remembrance Service at Manchester Piccadilly Station, an informal dinner at the Holiday Inn, Manchester Piccadilly, and Service of Remembrance Sunday in St Peter's Square. Blind Veterans UK is offering a £100 contribution to all our members who book a room at the Manchester Piccadilly Holiday Inn for the Saturday night. Register your interest at www.blindveterans.org.uk/events/remembrance-weekend-manchester-2026. Alternatively, telephone 0300 111 2233. Edinburgh, 7th to the 8th of November. Registration closes on 31st of August. This year we are delighted to be organising Remembrance Weekend activities in Edinburgh. Events include the Service of Remembrance in City Chambers and Engagement Dinner at the Doubletree Hilton Hotel. We are delighted to share that Blind Veterans UK is offering a £100 contribution to our members who need to book hotel accommodation to attend this event. Members may use this contribution at any hotel of their choice. Register your interest at www.blindveterans.org.uk/events/remembrance-weekend-edinburgh-2026. Or telephone 0300 111 2233.
News. Military Sight Loss Champions. We're pleased to share the launch of our new Military Sight Loss Champions scheme, an initiative designed to strengthen the connection between Blind Veterans UK and the wider armed forces community. This new initiative invites serving personnel of the British Armed Forces, including reservists and cadet forces, to act as champions for veterans living with sight loss. Through fundraising, volunteering, education and advocacy, military sight loss champions will help raise awareness of sight loss and support the vital work that Blind Veterans UK carries out every day. Being a military sight loss champion offers a flexible way to contribute to our work. Champions can get involved in many ways, reflecting the diverse skills and commitments of the military community. The level of commitment is entirely up to each champion, meaning individuals or units can tailor their involvement around service life and operational demands. Find out more and get involved at blindveterans.org.uk/champions. £500 raised at Towngate Social Club. On Saturday the 24th of January, Jess Wood, volunteer support lead and member of John Dobson, attended a cheque presentation on behalf of Blind Veterans UK at Towngate Social Club in Leyland. Jess and John spoke to more than 100 attendees about the charity's work. John shared personal experiences of the support he has received. Then Steve, the club's owner, kindly presented a cheque for £500. Our sincere thanks go to Steve, the staff there and all club members for their fantastic fundraising efforts through various activities. It was a wonderful evening and an excellent opportunity to raise awareness of the charity's impact. Andy's 200 miles a month resolution. Member Andy Leach has set himself a huge challenge to run or walk 200 miles every month throughout 2026 to support our charity. That's 2,400 miles by the end of the year. Since joining Blind Veterans UK, Andy 51 has thrown himself into physical challenges, including triathlons, 100-kilometre walks, cycling challenges between London and Brighton, 10 London marathons, ultramarathons, and endurance adventures. Andy came up with the idea for this challenge as his marathon training has intensified in the lead-up to the London Marathon this April. He told us he's increasingly aware of how much the charity has done for him and his family and feels driven to give something back. As he puts it, that's why I'm so passionate about supporting the charity and helping them make a difference for others just like they did for us. You can hear more about Andy's story and help him reach his fundraising goal at justgiving.com/page/AndrewLeichRunsWalk. That's all one word. I'm going to do all this again. Andrew Leich Runs Walk 2,400 miles 2026. Royal Welsh Soldiers Run the Length of Wales. A group of serving Royal Welsh soldiers ran across the length of Wales in February to raise money for Blind Veterans UK and other charities. The route was designed to pass through all 11 founding rugby clubs of the Welsh Rugby Union. At each club, the group attempted to score a try and conversion from the halfway line before the club president presented a bespoke WRU rugby ball. The 12 soldiers will cover 313 miles across the 6 days, starting at CSM Stadium in Colwyn Bay and concluding at the Principality Stadium in Cardiff, where the group ran onto the pitch at half-time during Wales' Six Nations match against France. In a show of unity and support, joining the group on the final leg into the Principality Stadium were two blind veterans, Andy and Darren, alongside their partners, as well as our military lead, Tim Eckersley. Tim says the support we receive from the UK Armed Forces always makes a huge difference to the lives of veterans living with sight loss. The 3rd Battalion of Royal Welsh Regiment are great examples of this, and we thank them for taking on this challenge for our charity.
Regional Member Conferences. Our schedule of regional member conferences in May 2026 for you and a guest of your choice. Following the success of our member conferences last year, we're planning even more locations this May. Led by our CEO, Adrian Bell, and senior leadership team, the conferences give you the chance to have your say and ask important questions about the future of the charity. You can register to attend one conference of your choice. Start time is 11 a.m. with the option to stay overnight and enjoy an evening dinner with friends. This event is free. Venues and dates. Leeds, Tuesday 5th May, Alton Hall Hotel. Grantham, Wednesday 6th May, Belton Woods Hotel. Cardiff, Tuesday 12th of May, Holiday Inn, Cardiff City. Gloucester, Wednesday 13th May, Cheltenham Chase Hotel. Basingstoke, Thursday 14th May, Hampshire Court Hotel. Belfast, Tuesday 19th May, Crown Plaza. And Edinburgh, Wednesday 20th of May, Delta Hotels by Marriott. And the schedule. Day 1, arrive at 11 a.m. Accommodation allocation, welcome, lunch, organisational updates, evening meal, circa 9 p.m. finish. Day 2, for those who wish to stay overnight, breakfast and farewells, depart by 10 a.m. Important information, transport. If you'd like to register but feel transport costs and availability could be a barrier, we may be able to help. We can check if you meet our essential criteria for support when we call to confirm your place. Evening meal. With all conference locations, a 3-course evening meal will be provided for those who choose to stay overnight. Following this, Founders Day Awards will be presented to members, volunteers or carers who have been nominated in recognition of their remarkable achievements and contribution. Accommodation. We will provide free accommodation to attendees for the night of the conference. However, Blind Veterans UK will be unable to provide accommodation for the night before the conference. Dress code. We want everyone to feel relaxed, so smart, casual clothing is perfect and formal attire is not required. Registration deadline. You can only attend one conference. Registration closes on Friday 27th of March. We will let you know if you've been successful via email or a phone call by Friday 10th of April. Please register your interest in attending a conference at blindveterans.org.uk/conference.
Every Penny Counts campaign raises over £1,000. Member John Bryce from Weston-super-Mare in Somerset has raised over £1,000 in 18 months by collecting pennies in an old milk bottle. John, 79, launched his Every Penny Counts campaign in July 2024 as a way to give back for the support he has received over the past 11 years. Keen to find a simple and cost-effective way in which he and others could donate to Blind Veterans UK without spending a lot of money, John asked people across the country to save an old plastic milk bottle or cordial bottle and fill it with loose change. He says, back in 2024, I racked my brain to think what could people do to support blind veterans that wouldn't cost a lot. Everyone has a milk carton, so I thought, let's use it. John remembered a national news story that reported on people discarding their 1p and 2p coins. He says discarding them into our containers is a much better idea and has now raised over £1,000 to support blind veterans like me. John joined the RAF in 1962 at the age of 15 and a half as a boy entrant, serving for over 26 years as a cook and then catering clerk in the UK, Middle East, Ascension Island and North Africa. He was discharged with the rank of sergeant in 1988. He lost his sight in 2006 due to age-related macular degeneration. He says, I can remember the consultant appointment so clearly. She said I'd lose my central vision and all I heard was, you're going to lose your sight in both of your eyes. I stood outside the hospital, stunned, and thought to myself, how the devil will I survive this? Sometime later, I started to volunteer for Vision North Somerset. I was based at the hospital chatting to people going to their eye appointments when I spotted a leaflet for Blind Veterans UK and applied. The year I began receiving support from the charity was life-changing. I was so lacking in confidence when I attended an introduction week at one of their centres and remember thinking that everyone else around me was so happy. With the support and encouragement of staff and my fellow blind veterans, I soon realised I could still do a million and one things I hadn't thought were possible. The charity provided me with a magnifying mirror, which is an absolute godsend. I wouldn't be able to shave without it. I also have computer software that allows me to zoom in on the text. This allows me to do everything on my computer, including online shopping and banking. I hate to be a pain to others, so this means I can do things for myself and not starve. I can also use it to plan journeys, meaning I can pop off with confidence after doing the preparation. Every penny counts has been John's way of giving back to Blind Veterans UK. He has managed to fill his milk carton three times, raising just over £948.21. What's more, thanks to the UK government's gift aid scheme, Blind Veterans UK has been able to claim a further £237.05. For those who don't know, the gift aid scheme enables charities to claim an extra 25p from the government for every £1 you donate at no extra cost to the donor. All the donor has to do is complete a one-time gift aid declaration confirming they are a UK taxpayer. This declaration enables gift aid to be claimed on past and future donations. John says this is such an easy and affordable way to donate to the charity, and I hope others will be inspired by how much I've managed to raise by just collecting coins. The milk bottle has become a talking point for visitors when they visit my house and feed it with their pennies. Every penny counts these days, and if we work together, those pennies will make pounds. If you'd like to get involved in the Every Penny Counts campaign and donate your loose change, you can find all the information you need, including a printable label for your milk carton at blindveterans.org.uk/UK Every Penny Counts. If you've made a donation of your own money to Blind Veterans UK, you can make sure gift aid can be claimed on your past and future donations by simply completing our online gift aid declaration form. Please note that gift aid cannot be claimed on money raised by charitable activities you've organised, such as raffles or coffee mornings. Find the online form at www.blindveterans.org.uk/support us/gift-aid-your-donation, or request a printed version of our form by calling us on 0300 333 2211.
A fond farewell to Barry. A message of thanks to our departing Chair of Trustees from our President Colin Williamson. I have been extremely fortunate during my time with St Dunstan's and later Blind Veterans UK to have served under 5 different chairmen, each bringing their own distinctive style of leadership and their own unique personalities. Barry Coop and Blind Veterans UK share a long and proud history that spans many decades. As many of you will know, Barry's father Des was a long-standing member, having lost his sight during the Second World War. Des served on motor torpedo boats and was blinded by shrapnel in December 1943 after an attack on enemy ships off the Dalmatian Islands off the coast of what was then mainland Yugoslavia. Despite this life-changing injury, he forged an impressive career as a physiotherapist with Preston North End Football Club during the legendary Tom Finney years of the late 1950s. Barry describes himself with typical humour as a petrol head, an affectionate term for someone with a deep love of motor cars. He is a regular at track days at his local circuit, where he puts his high-performance cars through their paces at speeds most of us would struggle to imagine. He is also a passionate enthusiast of fine wines. Throughout his time as chairman, Barry has been widely liked and respected. He has offered strength and unwavering support to his fellow board members, particularly during some of the more challenging periods in the charity's recent history. His commitment to Blind Veterans UK, combined with his professionalism, warmth, and his outgoing nature, have made him an invaluable asset. His contribution to the organisation is truly exceptional and will never be forgotten. One of Barry's greatest strengths has been his ability to make every board member feel at ease and confident in sharing our views, always knowing our opinions matter and are listened to with genuine respect. In every sense, he has been a hard-working, capable and consistently supportive chairman who has always led by example. I know I speak for all my fellow trustees, members, staff, volunteers, friends and families and supporters of Blind Veterans UK when I say that we wish him every happiness and success in the next chapter of his life.
Rustington Centre. As we move into spring, we'd like to remind everyone of the fantastic specialist activity weeks and dedicated breaks available at the centre. We look forward to welcoming you. Activities Taster Week. There's something for everyone in this Taster Week. You can try paddleboarding, hiking, golf, martial arts, rock climbing, axe throwing. The list goes on. Adrenaline Week. Get set for a buzzing weekend packed full of extreme activities that will get your heart pumping. Beginner's Archery Week. Enjoy learning the skills of archery guided by expert VI archery spotters with years of experience. Bowls Week. From beginners to frequent bowlers, everyone will be warmly welcomed on this week. Fishing Weeks. Complete beginner? Years of experience? Come and enjoy fishing 5 beautiful Sussex lakes. All equipment and permits will be provided with experienced local volunteer anglers to support. Hiking Week. Get your hiking boots, backpack and poles at the ready. Military Weeks. Share stories from your days in the armed forces, compare modern military lifestyles, and get hands-on with the equipment and vehicles. We're offering a 13-night stay in November. Our military week followed by a well-being week spanning Remembrance Weekend. Strolling Week. Come and enjoy the wonderful South Downs scenery and coastline with some gentle strolls and ambling walks. Carers Week. Our Carers Week offers an opportunity for anyone who cares for a Blind Veterans UK member to spend time with other carers, relaxing and sharing experiences. Wellbeing Breaks. A chance to unwind and be pampered for a week. The cost of your stay. Our costs vary depending on whether you need care and if your loss of your sight as a result of your service. Please note, Blind Veterans UK has a comprehensive grant policy, so should you feel that cost is a barrier to you coming to stay, please do speak to your community team. Trips and activities are included in the cost of your break. To register your interest, book or get more information, please call the Rustington Centre on 01903 945 300, or go to blindveterans.org.uk/centrebreaks, that's all one word, centrebreaks-BVUK. From the 30th of March to the 5th of April is Easter. From the 4th of May to the 10th of May, Activity Week, Beginners Archery. From the 4th of May to the 10th of April, Activity Week, Welcome Community 13. From the 1st of June to the 7th of June, Archery Week. From the 11th of May to the 17th of May, Activity Week, Activity Taster. From the 24th of May to the 31st of May, Activity Week, Fishing. From the 22nd of June to the 28th of June, Military Week. From the 29th of June to the 5th of July, Activity Week, Hiking. From the 20th of July to the 26th of July, Activity Week, Fishing. From the 3rd of August to the 9th of August, Activity Week, Strolling. From the 31st of August to the 9th of September, Activity Week, Bowls. From the 31st of August to the 6th of September, Archery Week. From the 7th of September to the 13th of September, Activity Week, Adrenaline. From the 26th of October to the 1st of November, Carers Week. From the 2nd of November to the 15th of November, Military Week, 13 Night Stay. From the 30th of November to the 6th of December, Turkey and Tinsel. From the 7th of December to the 13th of December, also Turkey and Tinsel.
Growing vegetables has helped my rehabilitation. After a high-flying career both in and outside the military, member Andy Johnson shares his journey of adapting to sight loss and forging a new path in life. Member Andy was keen to find a new hobby that would benefit his family when he lost his sight and was forced to retire. The hobby he chose was to grow vegetables in his garden, which not only gave him an activity he can succeed at, but also helped him maintain his mobility. Andy, 66, served in the RAF for 24 years between 1976 and 2000, when he was discharged as a chief technician. He says, "When I was around 14, my parents took me to see the movie The Battle of Britain. And from that movie, I was hooked on the camaraderie, bravery and the whole spirit of what I saw as the Royal Air Force. I applied for an apprenticeship as an aircraft technician and was lucky enough to be one of 180 offered a place out of 10,000 applicants. The apprenticeship was the making of me and made me who I am. The resilience and determination to never give in." Andy's first posting was to RAF Kinloss, just outside Inverness, where he spent 5 years. During his time there, he flew with Nimrods around the world, being on hand to maintain the aircraft. From there, he was posted to RAF Odium to work on Chinook helicopters, and then to RAF Akrotiri in Cyprus for a 3-year posting. He says this was the cherry on the cake. I'd been there with my mum and dad when I was 3 months old, as my dad was in the army, so I had vague memories from my time there. I finished out my career at RAF Lynham and left the RAF in 2000, having served for 24 years as both a man and a boy. Following his service, Andy worked for the airline Flybe, heading up the airline's maintenance department, which covered most of Europe with around 19 bases and 300 engineers. He says, "My apprenticeship and military training have always stuck with me. Resilience, respect and team working." Andy first discovered he had glaucoma shortly after coming out of the RAF at the age of 40. He says, "When I was 61, that's when my eyes started to give me real problems and I couldn't figure out what it was. I thought my reading glasses and sunglasses kept slipping down, so I would be constantly pushing them up, as it was like the top of the glasses was blocking my vision. Then I started to lose my peripheral vision. The eye drops I was taking for my glaucoma were no longer working." These days, he has very little peripheral vision left. He says, "You could be standing next to me and I wouldn't have a clue you were there." As for my central vision, it's like I'm looking through a letterbox. Everything is very grey and it's much worse in the winter due to the light levels. Due to his sight loss, Andy was forced to retire earlier than he'd planned. He says, "I had a very senior level job and I found it hard when I retired and just became a bloke, a chap with no power and no responsibilities. That was the first thing I had to get used to. But it wasn't until I stopped that I realised how much pressure I'd been under. It was actually nice to lose that and just really slow down." But shortly after retiring, he was diagnosed with bowel cancer and underwent surgery and 5 weeks of chemotherapy and radiotherapy. Fortunately, Andy recovered and in 2025 began to receive the support of Blind Veterans UK. He says, "The welcome week served quite a few purposes. I had no idea what to expect, but the whole setup was brilliant. I rely a great deal on my family and my wife in particular, and there are points when you feel like she probably needs a break. My stay at Rustington gave her this while I was in a safe space. The staff were out of this world, as was the food. I had the opportunity to have cane training, which for me was a big thing. My local pub up the road is a 5-minute walk, but I couldn't go on my own. My objective with my long cane training was to get to the pub. At first I saw myself as this old geezer with a long cane tapping along the road. But after doing the training, I started to realise that this is who I am now, and it's not so bad. I can get to the pub and to the shop. I can stand tall. It's actually quite a skill to use a long cane, and it's changed me. I've grown in confidence. I've also been helped by the charity with technology, such as a magnifying glass, good lighting, and tech for my phone. It's not just Andy's confidence that's growing. He's made the most of having free time and has taken up gardening and growing vegetables. This allows him to provide for the family and maintain his mobility. Gardening is an activity that you don't have to rush. I can do it in my own time, and keeping my plants watered is quite physical and helps me to maintain my mobility. I also manage to mow my lawn by using markers placed at the borders that I can see and aim towards, allowing me to cut the grass in straight lines. Last year, Andy's bumper crop included courgettes, aubergines and cucumbers. Here's his tips for any aspiring gardeners out there. I grow my crops in the greenhouse or in raised beds, as this makes them easier to access. I grow the seeds into seedlings, starting them off indoors, and when they are stronger and healthier, I plant them into pots in my greenhouse. I group the different crops together so that I know where each vegetable is, and I use labels written as largely as I can to help identify them. In March, I start turning the soil in my raised flower bed, ready for planting my root veg. I try to grow plants which are quite large and have fairly large fruits and flowers to make it easier for myself. Last year I planted cherry tomatoes, but I won't do that again as I kept standing on them. If you're going to grow cucumbers, don't go for the long ones. Choose a shorter, stubbier variety as they grow much easier. With chilies, buy a plant rather than trying to grow them from seed. Pollinate your courgettes. The female flower has the start of a tiny courgette at its base. The dog flower doesn't. Get a makeup brush, twiddle it into the dog flower on the stamen, put that into the female flower's stamen, then you'll get courgettes. Aubergines need the right size pot to let them grow, and they need a lot of sun.
A celebration at Sandhurst. Last month, members joined some of our current and potential charity corporate partners at a special event held at the Royal Military Academy, Sandhurst, RMAS. The event was an inspiring celebration of resilience, achievement, and community spirit. Designed to shine a spotlight on the remarkable stories of our members, it also offered a valuable opportunity to connect with the corporate organisations whose support is vital to the charity's work. Sponsored by two of our corporate partners, Amazon and Core Security, this event held special significance as it took place at the prestigious Royal Military Academy, Sandhurst, a world-leading institution responsible for training future leaders of the British Army. Guests were welcomed by member Alan Locke, who opened the event by sharing his powerful personal story. This was followed by an engaging history of Sandhurst delivered by Brigadier Nick Wright Boycott, OBE. Blind Veterans UK itself has a long-standing relationship with Sandhurst. Over the year, blind veterans have taken part in numerous archery competitions at the Academy, often competing against sighted teams from our serving armed forces. Past and present gifts. During one memorable visit to Sandhurst in 1982, blind and deaf World War II veteran Dommy Gagan, who also lost his hand in the war, presented the commanding officer with an oak coffee table made by a fellow blind veteran. More than 40 years on, that very table was in the room at our event. This time around, on behalf of the charity, Brigadier Wright Boycott OBE was presented with another special gift, a painting produced specially by blind veteran Brian Naylor. Brian is a keen artist who has found ways to adapt his skill since losing his sight. He joined the Royal Navy in November 1959 after completing an apprenticeship in the Merchant Navy and spent 12 years in the Navy flying in helicopters. Upon retirement, he joined a joint service unit of the Royal Naval Reserve, which was comprised of people of all ranks from all three services and finally retired in 1999. Brian's gift to Sandhurst depicts four figures: a soldier from the Waterloo era, another from World War II, one from the modern day, and a veteran. Another of his pictures, an illustration of the old college at Sandhurst, was made into postcards and given out to guests. Brian said, "I'm feeling extremely proud and a little humbled. My picture will be presented in the Waterloo Room, which has the most beautiful picture of the Battle of Waterloo at one end." After the presentation, members John Hardy, BEM, and Richard Jenkins gave the grace and toast respectively, and Wayne Perry led the guests into the Indian Army Memorial Room for dinner, carrying the charity's standard. Life beyond sight loss. Two very special guests were presented with Founders Awards, the charity's highest honour. One of those, blind veteran Stu Rodd, received our Life Beyond Sight Loss Award. Stu also shared his moving story in a live interview with our military engagement and events coordinator, Rob Cotterill. Prior to losing his sight, Stuart was working as a successful businessman, physically fit, independent, and surrounded by animals he loved, including dogs and horses. But everything changed in 2021 when he began experiencing unexplained blackouts. Following one episode, he spent 8 months in a coma. His consultants didn't believe he would survive, but eventually he woke to a devastating new reality. He had lost his sight, his business, his home, and his animals. He spent a further 3 years in residential rehabilitation before he was referred to us in 2024 with little sense of where to start again. Stu described himself at that time as a broken man, unsure how to begin rebuilding his life. However, over the past year, he has demonstrated immense courage, resilience, and determination, and with the right support is now thriving. These days, Stu continues to rebuild his life and is pushing himself in bold new ways. He completed the South Coast Ultra last year and walked 50 kilometres across the South Downs, raising an incredible £7,500 for Blind Veterans UK. A dedicated volunteer. The second recipient of the Founders Award was volunteer Paddy Henshaw, who was nominated by member Sue Isles. Paddy has been a huge support to Sue as she adjusts to life with a new guide dog, so much so that he now even joins her, the guide dog, and the guide dog's trainer for their training sessions. Among his many other contributions, Paddy also regularly drives blind veterans to their fortnightly arts and crafts clubs and has supported others taking part in walking challenges and a wide range of activities. His nomination summed it up perfectly. He is just so dedicated to Blind Veterans UK that he will do whatever he can, whatever help and support is needed. The moment was made even more special when Paddy received his award from a current Sandhurst officer cadet, his own son Matthew. Following the event, Adrian Bell said, "This really was a special opportunity to gather our blind veterans together with our current and possible future corporate partners. I would like to offer my congratulations to Stu and Paddy for their awards and my sincere thanks to Amazon, Core Security and the Royal Military Academy Sandhurst for making this event possible."
Use our trusted free wills service. Having an up-to-date will is so important. It ensures your wishes are understood, your loved ones are protected, and your affairs are handled exactly as you intend. Blind Veterans UK has partnered with two trusted providers to offer a free will service to members and their families, helping you plan for the future with confidence. The service is simple, stress-free, and managed by qualified legal professionals. Those who have used the service have told us how reassuring it feels to have their will completed. One of those is blind veteran Simon. Many of you know Simon, who lost his sight on his third tour of Iraq in 2006 as a corporal in Rimi. He was called to rescue a stranded vehicle following an insurgent attack. During the extraction, as the vehicle pulled away, he was shot in the face by a sniper. Both his cheekbones were shattered, his jaw was broken, and the roof of his mouth collapsed. His left eye was destroyed and he was left with only 20% vision in his right. When Simon decided it was time to prepare his will, he used our trusted free service and found the process straightforward and reassuring. Writing or updating your will means that you've got important people in your life that you want to make sure are taken care of. It was made simple and stress-free. It helped me feel confident that my family will be looked after and I could give something back to the charity that stood by me when everything changed. When writing or updating your will, it's important to choose a service that feels right for you. You can locate your own solicitor. A list is available at solicitors.lawsociety.org.uk, or you are welcome to choose one of the reputable free will services we have partnered with. Both are designed to make the process clear and straightforward. This service arranges a meeting with a local solicitor who will write your will in a face-to-face meeting with you. Once you request your free will offer from us, you will receive a list of solicitors in your area. You choose the solicitor you prefer and then meet them to discuss your wishes. Many beneficiaries value this option because it allows them to speak directly with a legal professional and receive reassurance throughout. Simon used the Free Wills Network and described the process as painless, adding, "The solicitor talked me through it and I felt at ease. I wasn't forced into making any decisions and everything was explained in full." This service allows you to write your will from the comfort of your home. You begin by answering a short online questionnaire, review the information you have provided, and then have your will drafted and checked by a legal expert. Your completed will is posted to you for signing. To begin, visit blindveterans.org.uk/freewills. There is no obligation to leave a gift to Blind Veterans UK when writing a will through these services, although many choose to leave a percentage to support future blind veterans once they've provided for their family and friends. These special gifts fund support for 5 in 10 of our veterans and enable us to be there for veterans long into the future. Whether you use the service now or in the future, our trusted partners are here to help you write or update your will simply and with confidence. To get started with this service, you can call Alice at Blind Veterans UK on 020 7616 7923. To learn more about the services available, call Alice or email giftsinwills, that's all one word, giftsinwills@blindveterans.org.uk, or visit blindveterans.org.uk/freewills.
Is wearable tech worth it? A beginner's guide to smart glasses, smart watches, and bone conduction headphones for people with sight loss. Wearable technology has grown from simple gadgets into essential tools that support many people with vision impairments. Modern devices help users navigate, communicate, manage health, and access information in ways that promote confidence and independence. Three of the most useful types of wearables are smart glasses, smart watches, and bone conduction or open-ear headphones. Each offers important benefits as well as practical considerations and possible barriers to independent use. Smart glasses, seeing the world through AI. Smart glasses are one of the biggest advancements in assistive technology. Today's devices use cameras, sensors, and artificial intelligence to describe surroundings, read text aloud, recognize faces, and even guide users indoors. By 2025, they had become even more advanced with real-time text-to-speech, object recognition, and bone conduction audio that keeps ears free for environmental awareness. Popular models such as Envision glasses and Meta glasses can now provide scene descriptions, read text in different languages, and identify facial expressions. These improvements continue to change how tech supports people with sight loss in daily life. The pros: hands-free access to visual information, useful for reading signs, identifying products, and navigating. Bone conduction audio keeps the ears open, helps users stay aware of their environment. The cons: high cost compared to mainstream devices. Some users may find gesture controls or AI features difficult at first. Battery life may limit long outdoor trips, requires good lighting. Smart glasses differ widely in weight, comfort and frame design, so trying them first is helpful. Some models offer prescription lenses or tinted sun lenses. Wearing glare-reducing glasses over smart glasses can affect performance. Indoor navigation and scene recognition depend on lighting or external building features. Too much audio feedback can be overwhelming for some users. Smartwatches, navigation, health and independence on the wrist. Smartwatches have become extremely valuable for people with vision impairments because they combine haptic, vibration, voice and gesture controls. Devices such as the Apple Watch provide voice-over sound recognition, wrist taps for directions and hands-free control using Siri. Some sports and fitness watches, like those from Garmin, are also used, though accessibility varies. Quick access to notifications, navigation, prompts and safety tools fall as such detection. Features like haptic time-telling, turn-by-turn vibrations and voice commands support discrete and independent use. Some newer models work with offline voice recognition and custom wake words, reducing the need to touch the screen at all. Small screens can be challenging, even with screen readers. Gesture controls may be tricky for some users and may not always respond accurately. Battery life can be reduced when using GPS or constant health monitoring. Not all features are available on operating systems. Apple usually provides stronger accessibility support. Strap comfort, button design and preferred output, haptic or spoken, can affect ease of use. Complicated menus or app layouts can make navigation difficult. Initial setup may require support to turn on and customize accessibility features. Many sports-focused watches still offer limited accessibility. Headphones, open-ear audio for safe and accessible listening. For people with vision impairments, headphones play an important role in safe mobility and information access. Bone conduction headphones are especially popular because they send sound through the cheekbones instead of blocking the ears. This allows users to hear navigation instructions, AI descriptions or screen reader speech while still listening to surrounding sounds like traffic and conversations. Clear audio without blocking environmental sounds, ideal for travel and orientation, comfortable for long-term wear and compatible with smartphone apps and smart glasses. Open-ear designs avoid the muffled or isolated feeling of traditional earbuds. Some users feel mild vibration at higher volumes. Wind noise outdoors can make audio harder to hear. Designs vary: headband, ear hook or clip-on, so comfort and fit differ between users. Water-resistant ratings are important for outdoor travel. Stable Bluetooth pairing is essential, especially when used with navigation devices or smart glasses. Too many audio sources at once, apps, traffic, notifications can overwhelm users. Pairing or switching audio sources may require help depending on the user's Bluetooth skills. Conclusion: smart glasses, smart watches and bone conduction headphones each offer powerful ways to support independence for people with vision impairments. from AI-driven visual descriptions to tactile navigation cues and safe open-ear audio, these devices can significantly enhance everyday life. However, challenges such as high costs, complex setup, sensory overload, and varied accessibility must be considered. As wearable technology continues to improve, it promises even more intuitive and inclusive solutions that place independence directly in the hands of users.
Don't let your passion slip through the net. Your hobbies support your well-being, says Blind Veterans UK Rovi Brian Kilburn. So how about giving our upcoming fishing weeks a try? When you lose your sight, as I have, it's completely normal to feel like your hobbies are no longer possible. But I'd encourage you to think about that. It may be true that you can't do the things you love to do in quite the same way, but often, with a bit of thought and adjustment, you can still enjoy them, and that's what counts. A good example of this is fishing, the most popular participation sport in the UK and one with proven benefits for our overall well-being. Of course, you may not be able to see the float bobbing around or the rod tip jerk as a fish takes the bait, but there are other ways to fish. For example, what if you simply hold the rod with the line behind a finger? And how about using a modern bite alarm? There are always little tips we can share. We have a full programme of Wellbeing Weeks this year for members, giving you the chance to try out activities under the guidance of our staff and fellow members. The activities are designed for all abilities, whether you're experienced or trying something for the first time. And the best thing is that hobbies often grow into supportive social networks too. Developing your pastimes can make life more enriching, and our Wellbeing Weeks are a great place to start. So, why not come along to beautiful Sussex for some wonderful fishing, or find something else that inspires you? Brian's fishing tips. Fishing has been found to improve our well-being to such an extent that the NHS can now prescribe angling for anxiety and depression. Our Rovi Brian shares some of his tips for fishing with low vision. Getting a licence. Every angler should have a rod licence, and you'll be happy to hear that a disabled person's licence will save you a few pounds. You get the licence online. The gov.uk website is the official recommended way to buy one. Prices vary based on the type of fish, trout, coarse or salmon, sea trout, and the number of rods used. Children under 13 don't need a licence, but those aged 13 to 16 must obtain a free junior licence. A rod licence is legally required for fishing in freshwater, rivers, canals, ponds, lakes in England and Wales, but it's not needed for sea fishing. Preparing before you go. Setting up some of your equipment before you set off could save you a lot of time and frustration. For example, you could prepare by setting up your rod with a swivel clip tied to the end with the help of good lighting at home. You might find it easier to keep your rod set up with a running swivel clip and a second one on the end. The rod is then simply folded and held together with elastic bands. Then when you arrive at the bank, you can quickly put the rod together, then clip a weight onto the sliding swivel and a rig on the end. The rig can be baited beforehand. Ledgering the line. The simplest option for ledgering the line is to do it over your finger. With the help of ready-tied hooks and simple clip connectors, fishing can become a lot less fiddly. Ideal for larger fish, you'll need an audible alarm for bite indication and ready-tied hooks or rigs. Fishing like this on a running ledger allows effective bite indication and is still nice and simple. Choosing your equipment. These days, most fishing equipment comes in green and camouflage, which doesn't lend itself to good contrast. So you might want to think about adding brightly coloured paint or tape so you can find your rod or net easily. Camping gear often has more options for colourful chairs, bags and containers. If you have low vision, you're best off going for bright colours. Staying safe by the water. In terms of safety, for both you and the fish, you may want to consider the following. Avoid barbed hooks and keep your tools and tackle well organised. Have someone with you or use walkie-talkies to stay in touch with others around the lake. Use an unhooking mat with edges so the fish doesn't slide around, and have a plan in place for how you're going to return the fish to the water. The fishing weeks at Rustington are suitable for all abilities, from beginners who've never tried it to those who'd just like a bit of help to dip a line. There are clubs set up to help people with disabilities, and even fishing venues that aren't, but are happy to help where they can. It's often just a case of asking. The fishing weeks will take place on the 24th of May and the 20th of July. For more on fishing with sight loss, visit the British Disabled Angling Association at bdaa.co.uk.
Member Voice. Introducing our national events for 2026 to 2027 and information on becoming a Member Ambassador. Member Ambassadors. The Member Engagement Team are pleased to announce the launch of the Ambassador Programme, enabling members to share their sight loss journey, support our national events and educate others on the great work we do. Whether you wish to become a public speaker, standard bearer, bugler or fundraiser, your support will make a huge difference. The scheme will launch from the 1st of April 2026 and we are now recruiting for a limited number of roles in the following locations: Edinburgh, southeast of Scotland, Northern Ireland, northeast of Ireland, Newcastle, northeast of England, Leeds, north of England, Manchester, northwest of England, Liverpool, northwest of England, Birmingham, West Midlands, Nottingham, East Midlands, North Wales, South Wales, London, southeast of England, Plymouth, southwest of England. Between Thursday the 9th of May to Saturday the 11th of May, training for chosen national ambassadors responsible for corporate and public speaking activities will be provided at the Holiday Inn, Manchester City Centre. National ambassadors chosen for standard bearer and bugler roles will be given training opportunities within Q2 to 2026. If you would like more information about these fantastic opportunities or would like to register your interest, please email us at met@blindveterans.org.uk. Military Sight Loss Champions. We're looking for veterans and service personnel to join our Military Sight Loss Champions scheme and make a real difference to the lives of vision impaired veterans. What is a champion? That depends on you. A champion could be an individual, division, squadron, regiment, or an entire establishment. It all depends on how you want to get involved and support us. Who can be one? Anyone who has served or continues to serve in the UK Armed Forces. You may have experience of sight loss through family or simply want to help vision-impaired veterans get more out of life. Whatever your story, we'd love to hear from you. As part of the scheme, there are two roles available to members: Champion Liaison. We encourage veterans who are active MESS or military association members to volunteer as our champion liaison. This important role acts as our voice and lets us know about any upcoming events that may be of interest. You will also share information about upcoming events on behalf of your organisation to promote new opportunities to blind veterans who may not be able to access this information themselves. education on sight loss and inspiring speakers. We are also looking for members to become trained public speakers, sharing useful information along with your own extraordinary personal accounts of living with sight loss and time in service. Please register your interest in these opportunities at blindveterans.org.uk/champion.
National Creative Project. This month's VI-friendly creative activities you can take part in, all from the comfort of your own home. Spring is finally upon us, and we're delighted to introduce the projects available from the NCP in March. Please feel free to take part in as many of the projects as you like. To request a kit, simply leave a message on the NCP voicemail on 01273 391 447 or email us at ncwt@blindveterans.org.uk. You can also request a kit via the members area of the website at blindveterans.org.uk/member. Surprise Seeds 2026. This is a yearly project where we share seeds for you to grow in your gardens in memory of the late Jim Long. Jim came up with this idea to unite his fellow members. We'll be sending carrot, spring onion, basil and cornflower seeds, all separated into labelled bags. You will receive a fact sheet about each plant in the pack to help get you started. These are small seeds but suitable for all gardening abilities. Deer Head Wooden Model. This simple wooden model is made up of 20 large pieces and can be displayed on the wall once finished. This is ideal for beginners as an introduction to model making, as it's easier than our usual model kits. Plus, you can always ask for some help from family and friends. This is suitable for beginners. Holiday Landscapes Watercolour Painting. This kit has been created to help you enjoy the calming, expressive nature of watercolour painting using soft washes of colour inspired by the feeling of summer. From quiet beaches and bright gardens to peaceful countryside paths, you'll receive a palette of 36 watercolour tablets, a variety of brushes, watercolour paper, and some high contrast masking tape to explore this versatile art technique. This is suitable for beginners through to experienced artists. Also available, Sweet Treats Mandala. We still have some Valentine's Day themed mandala mosaics available. Your tiles will be sorted out for you into label bags for this step-by-step mindful pattern. These mosaics make lovely gifts, placemats or wall decorations, and this is suitable for confident beginners. We are also able to take pre-orders for the Jeep project, which we will start to send out this month. Your feedback matters. Thank you for continuing to share your feedback forms with us. These are invaluable in helping us continually improve the NCP service and the projects we offer. We can't respond individually, so here's some answers to recent frequently asked questions. Mosaic tiles. Thanks for all your lovely feedback about our bespoke mosaic designs. Some feedback has come through that the smaller tiles can be fiddly. There are a couple of imminent projects already designed and ready, but when we create future designs, we'll make sure that the vast majority of tiles we use are larger, though we may still include some smaller ones occasionally for those who enjoy a challenge. You can always make up your own design if you're stuck, and if you need spare large tiles, please get in touch and we can send some out. Mosaic bases. Some of you have pointed out that designs starting from the centre of a base are more difficult and need to be marked. Thank you for this feedback. We will work with our supplier to see if we can change our engraving and make sure the majority of designs start from the edges and work in. Bulbs. We're so pleased that so many of you enjoyed the hyacinth project that we actually ran out. A few of you commented on the novelty of growing bulbs in slate chips, so we wanted to let you know that you can also grow paperwhite narcissus bulbs in slate, as these do not need soil. Other plants that are easy to care for without soil are air plants. These need a weekly soak to stay healthy and can be placed in terrariums and decorative planters. Quiz time. Our quizmaster Ron Russell tests your general knowledge. There are 10 questions. I will read out the questions first and at the end read out the answers. Number 1. Which colour appears on more national flags than any other? Number 2. What is the only even prime number? Number 3. What does MBA stand for? Number 4. Who is considered the father of modern computer science? Number 5. What is the only type of bird that can fly backwards? Number 6. What is a group of flamingos called? Number 7. What is the name of the three-headed dog in Harry Potter? Number 8. From what grain is whiskey made? Number 9. Which country celebrates Tomatina with an annual tomato fight? And number 10, what was the first ever toy advertised on television? And now the answers. Number 1, red. Number 2, two. Number 3, Master of Business Administration. Number 4, Alan Turing. Number 5, hummingbird. Number 6, a flamboyance. Number 7, fluffy. Number 8, barley. Number 9, Spain. And number 10, Mr. Potato Head. Family news, birthdays. John Bate, who celebrates his 102nd birthday on the 30th of April. Edna Bowman Sutton, who celebrates her 100th birthday on the 8th of April. Alan Dickens, who celebrates his 101st birthday on the 24th of April. Catherine Drummond, who celebrates her 104th birthday on the 7th of April. James Fenton, who celebrates his 104th birthday on the 21st of April. Joyce Goff, who celebrates her 100th birthday on the 26th of April. Derek Grubb, who celebrates his 102nd birthday on the 12th of April. Sydney Jennings, who celebrates his 101st birthday on the 18th of April. John Morris, who celebrates his 104th birthday on the 22nd of April. Alec Penston, who celebrates his 101st birthday on the 23rd of April. Gerald Perryman, who celebrates his 100th birthday on the 13th of April. Joyce Pullman, who celebrates her 106th birthday on the 30th of April. Joseph Sanderson, who celebrates his 100th birthday on the 19th of April. Dennis Smith, who celebrates his 100th birthday on the 2nd of April. Leslie Sumter, who celebrates his 100th birthday on the 23rd of April. Phyllis Vernon, who celebrates her 102nd birthday on the 4th of April. And Robert Wheelhouse, who celebrates his 105th birthday on the 18th of April. And all birthday information was correct at the time of going to press. Condolences. It is with deep regret that we record the deaths of the following, and we offer our heartfelt condolences. Jennifer Bennett, who died on the 29th of December, she was the wife of Bill Bennett. Sheila Chamber, who died on the 3rd of January, she was the wife of William Chambers. Winifred Doherty, who died on the 7th of January, she was the wife of Harry Doherty. Jeanette Finlay, who died on the 24th of December, she was the wife of Tony Finlay. Catherine Godden, who died on the 1st of January, she was the wife of Bill Godden. Margaret O'Brien, who died on the 8th of January, she was the wife of Derek O'Brien. Janet Payton, who died on the 2nd of January, she was the wife of John Payton. And Elizabeth Chartaux, who died on the 1st of February, she was the wife of John Chartaux. In memory. It is with deep regret that we record the deaths of the following members, and we offer our heartfelt condolences to their widows, widowers, families and friends. Brian Olga of Llanwrit, Wales, who died on the 1st of February, aged 83. He served as a private in the King's Shropshire Light Infantry. Ian Bacon of Poole, who died on the 23rd of December 2025, aged 80. He served as a senior airman in the Royal Air Force. Eric Bainbridge of Stockport, who died on the 14th of January, aged 90. He served in the Royal Armoured Corps. James Baker of Cheltenham, who died on the 1st of February, aged 93. He served as a sergeant in the Royal Electrical and Mechanical Engineers. Ronald Barber of Salford, who died on the 1st of February, aged 96. He served as a corporal in the Royal Marines. Anthony Best of Slough, who died on the 9th of January. He served as a trooper in the General Service Corps. Michael Bishop of Wootton-under-Edge, who died on the 16th of December 2025, aged 99. He served as a Lance Corporal in the Gloucestershire Regiment. James Bridge of Nottingham, who died on the 5th of January, aged 99. He served as a private in the Royal Artillery. John Catanash of Billericay, who died on the 31st of December 2025, aged 91. He served as an SAC in the Royal Air Force. Patrick Collins of Felixstowe, who died on the 8th of January, aged 89. He served as a sergeant in the Army Air Corps. Frederick Corns of Stockton-on-Tees, who died on the 19th of December 2025, aged 96. He served as a mechanic in the Royal Air Force. Geoffrey Deaney of Walsall, who died on the 7th of January, aged 78. He served as a warrant officer, second class, in the Parachute Regiment. Kenneth Dix of Poole, who died on the 1st of January, aged 95. He served as a wing commander in the Royal Air Force. Susan Dunham of Carnoustie, who died on the 1st of January, aged 71. She served as a leading Wren in the Women's Royal Naval Reserve. Ronald Duxbury of Blackburn, who died on the 9th of January, aged 86. He served as a gunner in the Royal Artillery. Gerard Fleming of Bishop Auckland, who died on the 23rd of January, aged 94. He served as an AC1 in the Royal Air Force. James Ford of Hawley, who died on the 6th of December, 2025, aged 97. He served as a private in the General Service Corps. David Garling of Cambridge, who died on the 1st of January, aged 88. He served as a sergeant in the Royal Artillery. Michael Gatford of Telford, who died on the 17th of December 2025, aged 88. He served as a warrant officer in the Royal Army Ordnance Corps. Colin Gilchrist of South Shields, who died on the 1st of December 2025, aged 90. He served as a Lance Corporal in the Durham Light Infantry. Robert Gooch of Welling, who died on the 9th of January, aged 90. He served as a private in the Royal Army Pay Corps. Francis Grant of Stowmarket, who died on the 1st of January, aged 101. He served as a Royal Marine. William Greatorex of Shrewsbury, who died on the 31st of January, aged 92. He served as a captain in the Royal Army Pay Corps. Brian Greenwood of Sheffield, who died on the 29th of January, aged 91. He served in the Royal Air Force. Gerard Hodkinson of Carlisle, who died on the 3rd of February, aged 92. He served as a gunner in the Royal Artillery. Glanville Hole of Llantwit Major, who died on the 11th of January, aged 97. He served as a flight sergeant in the Royal Air Force. Thomas Holland of Bolden Colliery, who died on the 1st of December, aged 90, he served in the Royal Armoured Corps. Leslie Hutt of Reading, who died on the 20th of January, aged 104, he served as a sergeant in the Royal Armoured Corps. Joseph Jervis of Salford, who died on the 1st of January, aged 102, he served as an AC1 in the Royal Air Force. Peter Keevil of Maidenhead, who died on the 20th of December 2025, aged 93, he served in the Royal Navy. Thomas Kimblin of Oldham, who died on the 15th of January, aged 99, he served as a Lance Corporal in the Royal Air Force. Brian McCormack of Rochdale, who died on the 1st of December 2025, aged 89, he served as a gunner in the Royal Artillery. Samuel Mears of Peacehaven, who died on the 21st of January, aged 81, he served as a private in the King's Own Scottish Borderers. John Meikle of Winscombe, who died on 29th of January, aged 90, he served as a Lance Corporal in the Royal Signals. Peter Moore of Lydney, who died on the 9th of October 2025, aged 75, he served as a Lance Corporal in the Staffordshire Regiment. Ian Partridge of Louth, who died on the 29th of December 2025, aged 89, he served as a Flight Sergeant in the Royal Air Force. Clifford Payne of Cardiff, who died on the 1st of February, aged 99, he served in the Royal Welsh Fusiliers. Robert Peach of Romsey, who died on the 14th of January, aged 93, he served as an LAC in the Royal Air Force. Andrew Penman of Peterborough, who died on the 23rd of January, aged 90, he served as a corporal in the Royal Air Force. Martin Finn of Forfa, who died on the 26th of December, 2025, aged 80, he served as a corporal in the Royal Military Police. Brian Powell of Eye, who died on the 19th of January, aged 90, he served as a Lance Corporal in the Royal Engineers. Pamela Rivers of Felixstowe, who died on the 15th of December 2025, aged 84, she served in the Women's Royal Army Corps. Anne Sexton of Tadworth, who died on the 1st of January, aged 94, she served as an AC1 in the Royal Air Force. Ronald Simpson of Morpeth, who died on the 11th of October 2025, aged 86. He served as an LAC in the Royal Air Force. William Simpson of Worksop, who died on the 1st of January, aged 103. He served as a sapper in the Reconnaissance Corps. William Stacey of Nottingham, who died on the 1st of February, aged 74. He served as a Lance Corporal in the Gordon Highlanders. John Swain of Bolden Colliery, who died on the 21st of January, aged 94, he served as an able seaman in the Royal Navy. David Sykes of Chertsey, who died on the 31st of December 2025, aged 88, he served as a signalman in the Royal Signals. Frederick Walters of Penarth, who died on the 13th of December 2025, aged 94, he served as a stoker mechanic in the Royal Navy. Lawrence Watson of Yarm, who died on the 26th of January, aged 94, he served in the Royal Air Force. George Watmore of Middlesbrough, who died on the 13th of January, aged 92, he served as a sapper in the Royal Engineers. Roger Wilcox of Newton Abbott, who died on the 8th of January, aged 90, he served as an SAC in the Royal Air Force. And Vivian Yates of South Shields, who died on the 21st of December, aged 92. She served as an LACW in the Women's Royal Air Force. Did you know that we can set up online tribute pages for the loved ones of staff, members and supporters? Find out more about setting up a tribute page at blindveteransuk.muchloved.org. The New Year raffle is now open. You could win £15,000. Tickets cost £1 and help to rebuild blind veterans' lives. telephone 0300 111 2233, or play online at raffle.blindveterans.org.uk/review. The raffle closes on the 20th of March. The draw takes place on the 27th of March. No under 18s allowed to enter. No prizes will be paid to anyone under 18 years of age. Full terms and conditions apply. Please visit raffle.blindveterans.org.uk/rules for more details.